So Ephesians 6. We'll start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so the first thing I just want to point out from that is that our fight is not with flesh and blood. It looks like it, because most of the time, the circumstances that we are dealing with, we're dealing with humans. And so somebody says something to me that I don't like, I have a choice. I can respond back with something that's just as hurtful to them, and we enter a disagreement, and we can enter a fight. And it looks like I'm at war with that person. But we are spirits. Our nature, we are a spirit being. We have a soul, which is our mind and our emotions. We live in a body, but the real us is a spirit. And so God has made us in his image, and he is a spirit being. And so the things that we are dealing with are spiritual, supernatural, in the supernatural realm, not in the physical realm. And so when I am mad at this person that has said something that I disagree with, and I get upset with them, my tendency is to want to get at them and to fight them and to be very upset with this person. And what the Bible is telling us right here is that we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. It's not that person that we are actually at war with. What is happening is that person may be being used by an evil force, the devil, to say something to us, to belittle us. And then in turn, if we're not careful, we're being used also by the devil to hurt that person and say something very negative and hurtful to that person. And so what's going on is we are spiritually fighting with one another. And we are yielding to something that is not godly at that point when we are doing that. And so we are wrestling in a spiritual arena. And many times it's just easy to say, I hate that person. I can't stand that person. That person makes me so mad. And just throw our hands up and say, oh. You know, it's very easy when you see something in the natural to want to fight in that realm. And so if we are looking at our circumstances, we're looking in the natural realm. We're not looking in the supernatural realm. And the circumstances are actually temporary. What you're dealing with today, 2 or 3 years from now, you're not going to probably be dealing with that. It's going to be in the past. You're going to look back, and it's going to be over. But right now, when you're in the midst of that, it just seems very overwhelming or very hard to deal with. And what we have to do is just take a step back and realize, you know what? This is temporary. What I'm facing right now is something that's temporary. What is real is spiritual things. And the first part of the armor, if we look at verse 14 of Ephesians 6, it says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And so Jim has been teaching a series on telling yourself the truth. And the truth is what the Bible actually says about your circumstance. It's not your circumstance. The circumstance changes. But what the truth is what does the Bible actually say concerning me in this situation? And so many times we tend to confuse this, and we tend to believe the circumstance over the Bible. And so we will look at our bank account balance and believe that over Philippians 4:19 that says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." So we're looking at the bank account and saying the bank account isn't agreeing with the Bible, and the bank account is real. And this is the truth. And so therefore, why isn't God doing what he is supposed to be doing with my finances? And what we have to look at is the bank account is temporary. What is always constant is the Word of God. And if God said it, that's the truth. And so we don't start wavering because the bank account is saying something different than what the Word of God is saying. And the same goes with our health. You can be having symptoms in your body, and maybe some of those symptoms have gone on longer than you expected them to go. And so you are saying, well, this hasn't changed. And you begin to look at the circumstance as being more real than what 1 Peter 2:24 says. That says, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. That is the truth. The circumstances, the symptoms, the things that we're dealing with are temporary, and they have to line up with the Word of God. The Word of God is what's actually the truth in that situation. And so Isaiah 55:11, and you can look at your sheet if you'd like to. This is to just some scriptures to prove what God says, that he is somebody to be trusted, that his word is accurate and it's unchanging. It says Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So if God's word says that we're supposed to be healed, that's what it's supposed to accomplish. And if our mindset is on that truth, and we don't waver on that truth, his word will not return void. It has to come to pass because he said it. And so therefore, it has to come to pass. Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" If it's in the Bible, he's saying he's not a liar. If it's in the Bible, then that's what the truth is. It doesn't matter what the circumstance says. It doesn't matter what is going on. So the tendency is to be like, you've been dealing with something, and you're like, well, I'm in faith, and it's not working. So are you saying that the word is not truth? Or that God is not telling you the truth on this? God is telling us the truth when he says, 1 Peter 2:24, "By Jesus' stripes we were healed." It was taken care of on the cross. That's when it was taken care of. And so we continue to stand on that, standing on that truth. And not wavering because our circumstances are looking different than what the word says. And so the next thing on the armor of God, in verse 14, it says, "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness." So sometimes we can be like, God is truthful, and he's right, but then we begin to look at our own flaws. But there's this wrong with me, and there's that wrong with me, and so I'm messing it up because of this, and I'm doing that wrong, and that's why it's not working for me. Maybe I'm messed up. And so the next thing that we have to go to is that we have to believe that we're right with God. If we've done something that is hurting our conscience and making us feel unworthy of God's promises, then we have to stop at that point and just say, God, forgive me if I messed up, or I messed up on this, Lord, please forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And then you just stand. You stand confident because you know there's nothing between you and God. And that is for our sakes that we're doing that. It's for us to feel clean and to be bold and to be confident before God that we're doing that. And if we look at 1 John 3:21, it says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." And so it's very important when we are believing and we're standing for something that we believe we're worthy of it. And when we have that understanding that it's not our goodness or our works that makes us worthy, but it's the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. And so because of the blood of Jesus, we are the seed of Abraham. And if we're the seed of Abraham, we can have what Abraham had. And if he was prosperous, we can be prosperous. And if the children of Israel were led out of Egypt and not, there wasn't one feeble among them, that means old and young alike. If there was nothing, no one feeble among them back then under the old covenant, how much more when we have been bought with the blood of Jesus? And so we are righteous because of what Jesus' blood covered. And his blood is all powerful. There is nothing that supersedes the blood of Jesus that was paid for us. And so our confidence does not come from ourselves, but is in who God is and what he has done for us. And the other thing is, it's not that we wish or that we hope that we're righteous. Sometimes I will talk with people and they're like, well, I hope so. I hope I'm good enough to go to heaven. I hope so. But that's not the case at all. Romans 10:10 on your sheet, Romans 10:10. "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You have to believe. You have to have faith that you are righteous before God. You have to believe that Jesus' shed blood was enough to make you able to stand before God. And I, when I was looking through righteousness, there's so many things, or there's several of the scriptures that are in relation to that, that talk about faith. You can be in right standing with God and not know it, and therefore not put a demand on the promises that come with being righteous. And so when you know that you're righteous, you can begin to act in faith. I'm a child of God. So if I'm a child of God, I'm a king's kid. Well, a king's kid is not poor. I don't know of any king's children on the earth right now that are poor. They have money. And so if they would have it in the natural, how much more, being a child of God, should I have it? And, you know, God doesn't mind us having money. If he were concerned about gold, he wouldn't have paved the streets of heaven with it. So he's really okay with it. And so it's not something that he's hung up over, that someone has a really nice house. He could care less, because it's not going to compare to the mansions when we get to heaven. So he's already got a bigger house for us when we get to heaven. So those kind of things, he's not hung up on that. Sometimes we on earth are hung up on those kind of things. And we're concerned about, you know, so-and-so who has 1,000 more square feet than we do. You know, when we get to heaven, those 1,000 square feet are not going to compare to the huge mansions that he has already been preparing for us. And so we don't have to be concerned about those kind of things. And as we're not concerned about those things and seeking after those things and running after those things, amazingly, our soul is prospering, and it is easier for us to end up getting those things because that's not what we're about. We're about doing the kingdom business. We're about doing what God has for us. So the next thing in the armor of God is your feet are shod with peace. And so many times we have this temptation to give up because our emotions are so high. And when we are worried, we are actually yielding to our emotions rather than trusting that God is able and willing to take care of us. How many people have felt when they're going to bed that the world is coming to an end? They get a good night of sleep. The next morning, they feel a little more refreshed. So was it true, that emotion that they were feeling when they were going to bed, was that true? Was that sustaining, that was just going to stay like that forever and ever? No. Our emotions go like this. They're affected by sleep. They're affected by how we perceive ourselves with someone else. I think that person is looking at me funny, so therefore there's something wrong with me. There may not be anything wrong with you. More than likely, there isn't anything wrong with you. But it's a perception that we have based on a feeling that we get when we're around someone. And then we feel like, well, there must be something really wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with us. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're King's kids. You know, we may not be perfect, but we can hold our head up high and we can be confident. And yet many times our feelings, we feel insecure in certain situations and in certain settings, and we don't act as confident as we should because of who we are in God. It says, I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That's who I am in God. And yet, we tend to worry, and our emotions start going like this. Brother Hagin would often say that the devil can never win when we stay in the spiritual realm, but we'll lose if we get into the natural realm. And so emotions are in the natural realm. If we feel like quitting, we are fighting in the natural realm. We are allowing ourselves to yield to the natural. But if we stand on what the Word says and believe what the Word says about us, and not go with our emotions that are fluctuating up and down, up and down. Well, isn't it good to be happy and be excited about something? Yeah, but even that feeling of happiness doesn't mean that that's there. Even if you have this excitement, doesn't mean that that's really God leading you that way. It comes with a peace on the inside. Sometimes you can be really excited about an opportunity, but that opportunity is actually not good for you. But the person that's selling it to you is making it look like it's really good for you. And so we have to differentiate between what is our emotion and what is actually the peace of God that's on the inside of us. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we are to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. So when we begin to be anxious, when we begin to be worried, we need to stop and say, uh-oh, I should not make any kind of a decision right now. This is not the state that I need to be in to make a decision, because you just know you're in the natural. That fear, that anxiety that you're feeling is not what you want to be yielding to when you're making a decision of any kind of importance at all. Even an insignificant decision, you do not want to be making it because you're worried. Many times the devil will get us in a place where we're worried about something, and then he will he will make it look like this is the decision that we need to make. Because if we don't do this, then oh my goodness, this is going to happen over here and we can't let that happen. And so we make this decision, and it's this rash decision that we would have never made under normal circumstances. When you see people trying to leave a stadium out of fear, you can see this in operation. They do not care that they're trampling someone that has fallen to the ground. They're so afraid that they will trample even if it causes that person to die. In their sane mind, they would never do that. They would pick the person up, help them, and then everybody go out together. But if they are operating under fear or under this anxious, I'm scared, they make a decision that they would never have made if they were in their normal, sane mind. And so the Bible tells us in Psalm 37:8, to cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. When we worry, when we're anxious about something, it causes harm. It either causes harm to us or it causes harm to those that are around us. And many times to those that we love, because they're usually the ones that are around us the most. And so I know even sometimes as parents, if we're not careful, we can begin to feel pressure. And if we're not careful, we can take that pressure out on our children. We would not normally raise our voice the way that we're raising our voice. But it's because we're feeling nervous and anxious about something, and it causes us in turn to take it out on the people that we love the most. And if we weren't afraid, we probably wouldn't have raised our voice like that. If it were any other given day, they could do whatever they're doing and it wouldn't bother us. But because we are under pressure, we're feeling nervous, then we tend to take it out on our spouse or children or co-workers maybe. If we're feeling stress at work and we've got this deadline coming and somebody makes a mistake, it's easy to bite their head off, because that's going to affect you and cause you not to be able to get your deadline. And so it's this situation that we're stressed, we're concerned, we're not trusting God. At that point, we have left our focus being on Jesus and like Peter walking on the water, we start looking at the waves and we begin to see. And what we want to do is continue to keep our eyes focused on Jesus no matter what's going on, because that stabilizes us. That causes us to not worry and not to fret. If we look at Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be known to God. That's what we're supposed to do. When things begin to get very stressful and we're getting anxious and we're worrying, what we're supposed to do is go before God and throw it off on Him and cast our cares on Him and say, you know what, God? I'm in this situation. If it's a work thing, I have this deadline. I don't know how to do it in and of myself. I don't know how to get all the pieces to come together. Lord, help me have wisdom. Help me in the supernatural realm to get this to come to pass. And your faith is not in your ability to figure it all out, but you're trusting God. And you're saying, okay, God, I trust you. You know how this works. You know how this operates. And you're casting that care and allowing Him to work on your behalf and to work things out for your good. And so no matter what it is, whether it's finances, the beginning of the month, you're going through, you see how the bills are, and you are wondering how in the world is this all going to fall into place. Okay, rather than stress about it, God, I choose to trust you in this area. I believe that you will take care of me, that you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. And so, Lord, I cast this on you. And you cast it. And you trust Him for the whole month that He is going to be faithful to you, that He's going to cause it to come to pass. I remember Mrs. Hagen saying when they were first starting out in ministry, they did not have enough coming in to meet their needs. And so she had a choice at this one point. So she used to be a hairdresser, but at one point she felt like she was not supposed to continue being a hairdresser, that she was supposed to stop. She felt very strongly that God was telling her, don't do that anymore. So they would have money coming in. She's doing the budget, and they have this amount of money, and it's not going to cover all the expenses that she had. And she would say, okay, I don't care. I'm going to write my tithe first. And she would write that. She'd put it in the offering. And then she would say, okay, now, God, the rest is up to you. And she would just rest in Him. And so even as things began to not always look so well during the middle of the month, and maybe even towards the end of the month, she'd be like, okay, God, I'm not gonna care. I'm not gonna worry about this. I'm trusting you. And she would say, even if it was just a nickel, and back then a nickel was worth a lot more than what it is today, she goes, sometimes at the end of the month, they would have a nickel left over. And they would go and get an ice cream and celebrate. It was a while ago. But the point was, they weren't supposed to have that nickel. They weren't supposed to even have all those bills met. And yet she would be like, okay, this is what we're doing. I'm standing. I'm going to believe. And supernaturally, maybe some of the bills that month were a little less than were to be expected. Maybe the groceries didn't cost as much because certain things were on sale that month. Whatever the case was, they got to the end of the month and they would have, maybe everything would be met. And so, the next several things in our armor are the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and prayer. And those things, I'm not going to go into all of that tonight, but we know about faith. We've talked about faith a lot. And salvation, we understand that we're saved. Romans 10:10 is how we're saved. And then the sword of the Spirit being the word of God, that's our anchor. And then prayer is casting it on God and just giving it over to Him and believing that He will do what He has said to do. And so after you have checked your armor and you realize, I'm believing the truth, I believe the truth over my circumstances, I realize that I am righteous because of what Jesus has done for me, and so I can stand confidently knowing that God is not withholding from me because I'm unworthy, but I am worthy. And so since I am worthy, I can be confident that He can get what He needs to me. And then I'm at peace. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to be anxious trying to figure out how everything's going to meet and how everything's going to happen. So I'm not anxious about it. After we've done all that, then we just stand. Then we just rest. And we don't waver. And we don't go up and down with, well, it's been 2 weeks. I should be better by now. Why am I not better by now? I like what Keith Moore said. I'd rather die in faith than die because I stopped believing. Because I'm going to have to be in faith when I get to heaven anyways. So I might as well go the whole course trusting and believing God and taking Him at His word. And so if we check our armor and we're standing and we choose not to quit, we choose not to give up, we believe that God's word is true no matter what, that it's working, that it'll work in our lives, it will work. And we go back to that Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Pastor Hagen has a saying that he has said, he's just noted for it. He says it all the time, and it's so good. It says, I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. So, if we don't quit, we can't be defeated because of what Jesus has done. The only way the devil can defeat us is if we quit. And how he does that is to try to get us into the natural and affect our emotions and affect us and just say, fine, forget it. It's not worth it. And we throw the towel in and give up. But if we choose not to give up and to stand fast, if God's given you something, put something in your heart, and He's told you something, you stand on it. And there's no reason to quit. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter. If the Bible says you're the head and not the tail, then you don't have to go around feeling like you're a loser. There's no reason. Because that goes against what the Bible says. Circumstances may be telling you differently. It may look like nobody else likes you. It may look like you can't do anything right. You're always fumbling, saying the wrong thing. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. Oh. Sometimes those things happen. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're the head and not the tail. He made us more than conquerors. That's who we are, and that's how we have to see ourselves, as King's kids. You know, you look at Donald Trump, he goes around and says, I'm rich. Well, his kids are rich. Well, we've got one up on Donald Trump. We're children of God. And our Father created everything. And if He created everything, then we're rich. Sometimes it's hard to say that because we're like, I have to be humble. I can't say I'm rich. What? Who says that? That's not in the Bible. What? Doesn't say barely get along. Says exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think or imagine. I'm telling you, we've got some vivid imaginations here. We can imagine pretty big if we want to. And it says above that. And so he's not concerned. He's not concerned about us having our needs met. He's not concerned about us having... Keith Moore, when I used to travel with him, with Brother Hagen, he would say, one of these days, I'm going to live on the 10% and give the 90%. That's his goal. The reverse. To be so well off that you can give and only need 10% for yourself. Have that much. And still be living well. Having everything. But you have so much more that you can give to the kingdom of God. So that we can get our job done and get up to heaven, where that's where the real wealth is. Well, that's where the real excitement's going to be up there. It's going to be fun up there.